This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Assemblyman Angelo Morinello. Angelo, thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning. You're very welcome.
Angelo, before we get into the happenings in Albany, what is your reaction to the GOP gubernatorial primary, Lee Zeldin winning?
He won. He had challengers. It was an open and fair process. Each of the others had an opportunity. They had a debate. They spent monies, and the voters have chosen Mr. Zeldin, or Lee Zeldin, as their choice. I accept what the voters have chosen, and that's basically the position. When there's a primary, it's very difficult when you're looking at the bigger picture to just go out and say one or the other in a primary, because the majority of the candidates in a primary possess pretty much the same principles and same views. So it would be a matter of who could get their message out more to the general public, and it looks like Lee Zeldin was able to do that.
Now, on the happenings in New York, another gun legislation passed. How did we get here? What happened in Albany, and what was the result for the gun owners of New York State?
Well, let me give you the rundown on the timing of what happened in the session, and then I would like to answer as an attorney and as a retired judge based on the technical aspects of what I perceive to be the procedures. We were notified over a week ago that there would be an extraordinary session. Actually, it was immediately after the Supreme Court decision on the extreme restrictions, which they believed were unconstitutional on their face and somewhat discriminatory for minorities, there was many roadblocks. So they made a decision and overturned that New York rule. So we were called into session, and we were scheduled for noon on Thursday of this week, June 30th. At 1:30, the session was gaveled in. We voted on the resolution of the governor to call the extraordinary session. And at that point, once the vote was in, they were at ease. The House went to at ease. We had no information, but it was very obvious. They did not have the bill, the draft. They had nothing to present to us, even though we were called to Albany. At about 12:30 a.m. on July 1st, so remember, we've been in session since noon, or we were called to session at noon on the 30th. And approximately 24 hours later, a 50-page draft bill was released so that there was no certainty to the bill or the language, but there started a review. At about 1:50 a.m., I contacted Andy Goodell, who does our floor debates, and he was reading the bill, but what he did was he actually gave me a little bit of an outline of what he was looking at. On 7/1/22, at about 8 o'clock in the morning, we received an email that we would have a members-only conference for my conference, and immediately thereafter, we did a bill briefing. On January 1st at 10:40 a.m., they released the bill numbers. So before that, we couldn't even go in and read the bill. At 11 a.m., we had our bill briefing. And then thereafter, at approximately 1:00, 1:30 in the afternoon, we went into session. Debates went on, and we were finally released at about, 8:30 to 9 o'clock Friday night. So we actually were gaveled in at noon on July 30th and gaveled out at about 8:30 in the evening on July 1st. So it was pretty grueling. But that time period between the House at Ease, which was about 1:35 in the afternoon, we were not given, okay, we're going to call you back tomorrow. Go home and get some sleep. Go get some dinner. Go back to your hotel. We were left hanging, sleeping in chairs, sleeping on sofas, not knowing what was going to happen. But that be it what it may, this will go down in the annals of, I want to believe, unprepared and no transparency in the process. Now, when the final bill came out, the final bill, I think, was 24 pages. We barely had time to read the bill before we had to go in and vote on it and debate on it. But this is where our briefings come in very handily, our minority briefings on the bills. We have a central staff. They work as soon as they get it. I mean, they're up all night just working. But being that, let's go back to what brought us here. There was a Supreme Court decision in this particular matter. And in that decision, it was pretty interesting because Justice Kavanaugh stated in a concurring opinion that nothing in the opinion should be taken to cast doubt on longstanding prohibitions on the possession of firearms by felons, mentally ill, or laws forbidding the carrying of firearms in sensitive places. So now, they list sensitive places, or they claim sensitive places, but there's no list or guidance from the Supreme Court, which now opens it up to the individual states to make their decisions based upon what do they feel are sensitive places. Looking at it as an attorney and as a retired judge, this would warrant some guidance from the Supreme Court, a little more definitive as to what do they mean by sensitive places. But also, what's very unsettling is, it is established this decision did not remove the prohibition of firearms by felons. Yet New York State is moving towards expunging any and all records. So does this fly in the face of, well, nobody will be a felon because they'll be expunged, therefore, indirectly, felons can now have weapons. That hasn't passed, but they're pushing for that. But let's go to sensitive places. In the bill, they list 16 sensitive places, which basically is everything except your bathroom in your home with a closed door. But I'm going to go through and I'll do a quick rundown of what they declared as sensitive places in the bill. Any place of federal, state, or local government administration. Any place providing health, behavioral health, or chemical dependence care. Libraries, public playgrounds, public parks and zoos. Any place of religious observation. Locations of any program licensed, regulated, or funded by the Office of Children, Family Services, Office of People with Developmental Disabilities, Office of Addiction Services, Mental Health and Temporary Disability Assistance. Any child care programs where the Department of Health, nursery schools, preschools, and summer camps, homeless shelters, runaway homeless youth shelters, shelters for adults, domestic violence, residential settings licensed, regulated, or funded by the Department of Health. Any building or grounds are leased by educational institutions, colleges, universities, licensed private career schools, public schools, charter schools, special act schools, and schools for education of students with disabilities. Location designated as polling places. Unsure whether, as a side on that, is that if they're designated a polling place for like one day a year or the early voting, does that prohibition remain in place for the entire year or just for the period it's designated? That's up in the air. Any place of conveyance or vehicle used for public transportation? Any establishment that has been issued a license for on-premise consumption of alcohol beverages? And any established license for on-site consumption of cannabis? Any place used for performance of art, entertainment, gaming, or sports events, including theaters, stadiums, racetracks, museums, concerts, conference centers, gaming, video lottery terminals. Any public sidewalk or public area that is restricted from the general public for a limited time or a special event for which a permit has been issued. Protest. That initially comes to mind. Any gathering of individuals to collectively express their constitutional right to protect or assemble in Times Square, provided that such area is clearly identified with signage. It's a pretty exhaustive list. As a sidelight, they changed the definition of rifle and shotgun to include muzzle loaders, and then they prevent the use of them in what they claim are sensitive areas. The question there is, will Fort Niagara and any other reenactment location in the state of New York, which they have in their commercials, and they show the firing of muskets and cannons without live projectiles, will that prohibit reenactors, and will they become felons? So that's up in the air. So let me just, I know I'm explaining, but I hope you don't mind that I'm doing this to get people.
Not at all. It's giving us a clear picture.
Okay. So here's how I look at this. The Supreme Court makes a decision, but they leave the door open to sensitive places without a definition. I read this as what New York State has done is said, okay, you never defined it. So how do we get a definition that we can rely on and minimize future litigation? So they sat down and they came up with this exhaustive list of what they claim are sensitive places. Now, sensitive places need to be defined. So what's going to, my prediction, come Tuesday morning, there's going to be an action filed to start moving it up through the ranks of courts to the Supreme Court to come up with a definition of a sensitive place. So I think this is part of the overall process that will be challenged. There will be expenses. It'll be costly to the taxpayer. But the premise is to protect yourself. The Second Amendment. There's nothing here in this legislation that prevents certain types of weapons. But when you look at it, who does this apply to? It only applies to lawful permit-holding citizens who possess a weapon. So it doesn't apply to the criminals. And they did not, in this legislation, put any teeth into the lessening of bail and the lessening of criminal penalties. They did nothing to address the underlying cause of mental health. What is causing our youth to act out in such a fashion? What is creating in them this hostility towards society and certain individuals? None of that was addressed. So now we're in a position where There's a law that was passed and signed by the governor. There's going to be challenges. So I think this process is going to go on for quite a while. And I anticipate that because of the uncertainty, in the constitutionality question, which may violate the right to protect oneself. There may be a stay of the implementation until the final determination. So next week will be a big week and play out what we see is going to happen going forward. But what else is in here that people need to be aware of? Right now, you recertify your pistol permit every 5 years. This now reduces it to every 3 years. And it's really interesting. Well, number one, they add a new definition of good moral character. And that is having the essential character, temperament, and judgment necessary to be entrusted with a weapon and to use it only in a manner that does not engage oneself or others. That's pretty open and broad, and it's very subjective. So there's room for abuse against certain individuals in that particular paragraph. Now, in order to either get a new license or to recertify, here's the new rules. And this is not just to get the license. This is every time you certify. 16 hours of in-person live curriculum approved by the Department of Criminal Justice Services, Superintendent of State Police. And then there's a list of items that course must handle. They don't have this yet. There's no you have to have a pre-certification to get a pistol permit now. However, so this is an open door that is going to be mandatory. However, there's no rules for it. Minimum of 2 hours of live fire range training. They must have a score on the written exam of 80%. Now, if you've been convicted of the following offenses within 5 years of the application or renewal: assault in the third degree, a misdemeanor driving while intoxicated or menacing, okay, you'd have to meet in person. That prevents you from getting it. Then everyone will have to meet in person with the licensing officer for an interview and shall submit to the licensing officer the following information in addition to other forms required. Now, in almost every county, there's one judge. They estimate that in order to be able to get that interview, it could almost take a year, which means you would not have permission. So there's some efforts here in a backdoor way to take the Second Amendment rights away. And again, I want your audience to understand, I'm interpreting this as an attorney and as a retired judge. The law is the law. As a legislator, this is the law. Opinions are those based upon my experience in history, okay? Now, on a renewal, you go in, no criminal activity, you get renewed every 5 years. Now, every time you go for a renewal, you got to submit 4 character references, okay, which is new. You have the new definition. You have to do it every 3 years. Plus, there will be a cost or an expense to this, which some people, it may be prohibitive. We're in the highest inflationary period we have. We have hunger. We have homelessness. So is this going to exclude certain classes of individuals from getting a pistol permit? You know, you're going to have a class that can afford it, but then you're going to have that class that have a right to defend themselves that is not. And then let's go back to the real premise. This is only addressing those that have been authorized by being issued a permit to carry a weapon, a pistol, okay, on your person. Well, do you think a person, if you're a retail establishment, not prohibited under those sections, restaurants, taverns with licenses, and you don't mind somebody coming in that has a concealed weapon, you have to put a sign in the window. Basically, concealed weapons welcome here. Well, two things. If you have a propensity to commit a robbery, are you going to go to the business that says, we permit concealed weapons or the one that doesn't permit it. Okay, so if you're first of all, if you're a criminal, if you're going to commit a crime, okay, you're not going to care about what the rule is, but you're going to be sure as hell not go somewhere that you see is going to have possibility of concealed weapons in it. That's number one. Number two, the anti-gun people, they may end up start protesting these businesses or boycotting them. It is like, it's just the opposite of what it should be logically. So this is why I'm saying that this is opening the door to a challenge which will have to be decided at some point by the court that issued the decision, which is the Supreme Court.
I'm glad you brought up the businesses having to put the sign. That was my next question. I do want to know your thoughts on this. Ann McCloy from Channel 6 in Albany asked Governor Hochul, do you have numbers to show that it's concealed carry permit holders that are committing crimes? And the governor said she didn't need to have the numbers. She doesn't need to have data point to say this. What's your reaction to that answer?
Well, I'll give you a little statistic. There were 801 murders over 15-year period by license holders in the entire United States, okay? It's a pretty telling statistic. So when you have 801 murders in 15 years in the entire United States, it supports the premise that lawfully licensed pistol permit holders, concealed weapons, are not the problem, okay? The comment on I don't need to know, that just shows that the purpose of this is to establish rules, and it's not based on science or statistics. And let's talk about statistics. Statistics are usually come about by polls, okay, or actual reporting. But let's say it's a poll, and they say that 65-60% believe that we shouldn't have carry weapons. Well, they don't tell you what the questions were or how they directed the individual that they're asking the question of to answer that question. And questions can be so, in such a way that the answers are not really reflective of the true opinion of an individual. So I don't agree with that. We don't need to know. I also take umbrage with the fact that the bail laws, okay? And now, an innocent individual, someone with a permit, let's take the reenactors, if that's not straightened out, they would be charged with an e-felony. And there's two kinds of felonies, a violent and nonviolent. But the sad part is, a violent felony, the definition of a violent felony, includes certain gun violations. So, without being more specific, let's say it's an e-violent, okay? Possibility of no jail and probation for 5 years or 1.5 to 4 years in prison. You're taking a lawful, legitimate license holder, vetted, never had a problem, a family man, and making a felon out of that person because of the openness of how this is defined, yet felons who are not supposed to have them are having their records expunged. There's so many contradictions that happen, and I say now as the legislator, not as the judge, the retired judge or attorney, as the legislator, the difficulty is they never allow anyone in these discussions with experience in the areas to establish what is your goal. Let's come to a goal that actually accomplishes it, which doesn't create more of an issue. And that never happens. It's always one side. And then you go to battle, and then what you have is you have amendments on those bills in further years. Now, normally, this bill would have come before the Codes Committee, the gun bill, of which I am the ranking minority member. But we would then ask questions in that committee meeting based on what our analysis of some of the holes in the legislation. Some of the things that, practically speaking, would need to be adjusted, and many times they'll either hold the bill or they'll amend it by the time it gets to the floor to be able to at least take what we did in committee and incorporate it either as an inclusion or a removal in the particular bill. this does not come before code. So many of the things I've pointed out, well, I'm sorry, it did come before codes, but we did not have enough time to analyze it. So it wasn't a true, you have 3 days. Now, normally a bill has 3 days to cure, which means that you have 3 days to analyze it. You have general public can comment on it. We can get emails. We can get positions. But a message, an extraordinary session with a message of necessity means it comes right to the floor. There's no curing period. There's no time to review it. All right. Can you imagine signing a contract that you did not have a chance to read? I mean, think about the lunacy of that. So, again, I think this is just, let's get every single possibility that we're going to call a sensitive area, get it in this particular bill, and then from that point, we'll let the courts make the decision, and we can follow what the court's saying. So it's still an open door on this.
Assemblyman Angelo Morinello, always good catching up with you. Thank you so much. Have a great Independence Day.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to explain. Enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.